Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. This is the word of the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. He stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. The authority of Christ was given to the apostles. Was given by the Spirit of Christ, which rested upon them. We see that authority at work in Peter's raising of Tabitha from the dead. This wonder that Peter performed, it resembles the wonders that his Lord performed. For Christ before him, during his ministry on earth, had in the same manner raised a child from the dead. Mark chapter 5, verse 41. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking. Why was Peter able to raise Tabitha from the dead? Because the authority of Christ had been given to him to do the very same works that his Lord had done. As an apostle, he was given authority over demons, over illness, even over death. This relationship between Christ and the apostles is very similar to the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is a prophet of the Lord, and one of his first and most remembered works was his raising of a widow's son from the dead. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord. The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And after Elijah came Elisha. We are told that the spirit of Elijah rested upon Elisha. And as with Elijah before him, one of Elisha's first and most remembered works was his raising of a woman's son from the dead. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 33. So he went in and prayed to the Lord, and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Elisha did the same works that Elijah did, because the spirit of Elijah rested upon Elisha. But how was it that Elisha came to possess the authority that had been given to Elijah? We are told in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. Elisha came to possess the authority of Elijah as he saw Elijah taken to heaven. That should sound very familiar to us. It should sound like what we have read regarding the apostles and Christ. What was true of Elijah and Elisha is true of Christ and the apostles. Luke chapter 24, verse 51, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. The apostles, they saw Jesus ascend into heaven. As it was with Elijah and Elisha, so it is with Christ and the apostles. Spirit rested upon them. Its authority was given to them. And so once again, we are compelled to confess that the church of Christ is the church of the apostles. If we would be joined to the body of Christ, we must be joined to the apostolic church. It is within the apostolic church alone that Christ dwells. It is upon the apostolic church alone that the Spirit of Christ rests. It is to the apostolic church alone that the authority of Christ is given. The ministry of the apostles, it is patterned after the ministry of Christ. But the authority of Christ was given to them. The wonders of the apostles, they are the wonders of Christ. Their work was the work of Christ through them, by the hand of his Spirit. So we may be certain that in having fellowship with them, we have fellowship with him. For their fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. The raising of Tabitha reveals something to us about the apostles, about their authority, about the apostolic church. But it does not only reveal something to us about the apostles, it also reveals something to us about the church and its people in general. We are told that Tabitha, when translated, means Dorcas. And this is an odd way of translating the text. For when read in English to us, it may almost sound like an insult. Tabitha is from Aramaic. Dorcas is from Greek. And both have the same meaning. Tabitha in Aramaic and Dorcas in Greek, they both mean gazelle. And as the book of Acts is written in Greek, it would make more sense to translate verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means gazelle. We are told the meaning of Tabitha's name. But why? Why would Luke want us to know that Tabitha's name meant gazelle? Why would he take time to make sure that we understand the meaning of her name? It does not seem to have any immediate significance upon the passage. Does not said explicitly, but from the context, we may understand that Tabitha was a widow. For when Peter came, all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing the garments that Tabitha had made while she was with them. If we are right to understand that Tabitha was a widow before her death, we may wonder why we are told of this widow, that her name means gazelle. Now, in the prior passage, in the healing of Aeneas, who was paralyzed, to whom Peter said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." There we pondered the meaning of that command, that Aeneas should not only rise, but also make his bed. And looking to the Old Testament, we found that this word translated as making one's bed, that it is found in the context of sexual intimacy, that one's bed is made for love. But what we found in the Old Testament is that Israel's bed was made for illicit love. Israel made its bed not for communion with the Lord, but for communion with idols. But the Lord, being a bridegroom of grace, he calls to his bride in grace and says to her, "Return to me. You made your bed for idols. Turn from them and make your bed for me." When Aeneas is told to make his bed, we may understand that he is being told to make it for the Lord. This call to make one's bed, it is a call to love. And perhaps there is something similar at work in this passage, in the meaning of Tabitha's name. For this word, gazelle, it also appears in the Old Testament. More often than not, it appears in that epistle of love, the Song of Songs. And in the Song of Songs, it is used to describe both the bride and the bridegroom. Concerning the bridegroom, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He grazes among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains." And concerning the bride, Song of Songs, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee." The image of a gazelle is used of both the bride and the bridegroom. And while it is used in a different way to describe each one of them, the bridegroom's strength and the bride's loveliness, yet in both we find them grazing among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. We see then that there is a union that exists between the two of them. What is true of the bridegroom is true of the bride. What is true of the bride is true of the bridegroom. We see this very thing in Acts chapter 9. For Tabitha, like her Lord, is raised from the dead. And in her rising, we are to see that she is being conformed to him. We must see it in this way, for we are told to understand it in this way. In verse 41, we are told of Peter that he presented her alive. And that too might sound familiar. For this very same phrase that is used of Christ at the beginning of Acts after his resurrection from the dead. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering. In Acts chapter 9, we find Tabitha conformed to the image of her Lord. We find this widow conformed to the image of her bridegroom. We find this gazelle united to him and made one with him. He is her love. He is her life until the day breathes and the shadows flee. And this is our hope. We are invited here to see ourselves in Tabitha. There we find this comfort that as she was presented alive, so Christ will present us alive. Made one with him, we will be raised with him. He will take our hand that we may enjoy life with him. That we may be satisfied with his love. But if we are to see ourselves in Tabitha, let us not overlook what else was true of her. She was full of good works and acts of charity, acts of love. She spent her days making garments for those who needed them. She did not live a life that the world would call great. hers was a life that is easily overlooked, a life that was cherished only by those who knew her. Yet see how the Lord loved her. See how his face shined upon her. Hers was a life greater than the life of kings and counselors. For it was a life well pleasing to her Lord. Let us not then despair to live a quiet life, a forgotten life, a life that the world may never know and will not remember. For we live our lives before the Lord. He who sees all things, he will know. He will remember. He will not forget us. And in the end, he will raise us when the day breathes and the shadows flee. So rise, be like the gazelle, full of goodness and love. Amen.